Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website. Each week we select five web videos, and I anchor them on our site. This week's picks include Senator Al Franken giving it to a conservative think tank fellow on how many bankruptcies medical bills cause. See our five video picks at WNYC.org/video. Now, over the summer, as many of you know, we launched a project called Halted Development, where we asked you, our listeners, to map and photograph unsold and stalled housing developments. You can find the link to the Halted Development map that you've created on our show page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And we encourage you to keep looking around your neighborhood and post what you find. You may have heard two interviews we had with Brooklyn Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries, who talked about what he's calling Project Reclaim, a plan to transform vacant and unfinished luxury housing into affordable housing for middle and low-income families. And now community organizers are getting on board and are actually doing the legwork to track down where exactly these empty or stalled buildings are. The Right to the City Coalition, made up of several community organizations around New York, has just completed their survey and found unsold condos or stalled construction in 601 buildings in 9 community districts around New York City. So joining me now to talk about the research and what they plan to do with the data are David Dodge, the Right to the City Coalition coordinator, and Jose Lopez, organizer at Make the Road New York, an economic justice organization that's part of the coalition. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And David Dodge, you've coordinated the survey. You deployed something like 150 people to survey close to 300 census tracts all over the city. What have you been looking for precisely?
Well, we set out to do this project to look for these vacant condos and stalled construction sites in low-income communities because our membership has noticed the problem, how big of a problem it's becoming. So that was the major goal of this.
And Jose, you coordinated the canvas in Bushwick this summer. You enlisted Make the Road Summer Youth Program participants to do the survey. You walk the streets with them every day from 4 to 6 p.m., I gather. How can you tell if a condo building is vacant or if construction has stalled?
So over the summer, we created a bunch of members from the Right to the City Alliance created a vacant condo canvas sheet. So it was a sheet that gave pretty much members who were walking their communities an idea of what to look for in terms of vacant condos. And what our members did was they had maps of the community districts and their communities. And they walked up, down, and all around every single block at Make the Road. We did Bushwick and used this canvas sheet to identify the addresses of these buildings, to look for signage on these buildings that talked about how much they cost, whether or not they were for sale or if they were renting. And then we also gave building descriptions, things like how many stories exist in the building type, how many units exist in the building, and all that is being has been collected and is now being all the secondary research is being looked at to figure out which of these buildings we can move on for our campaign.
And as you said earlier, this was done in 298 different census tracts, and we did this in Bushwick, where Jose was primarily responsible. We've also done this in the Lower East Side, the West Village, Chelsea, South Bronx, Harlem, and downtown Brooklyn.
Now, the poverty rate in Bushwick, for a little context, is 32%. That means a third of the people there make under $18,000 a year. And in the report, you cite the statistic that New York City has lost over 200,000 apartments that were affordable to low-income renters over the last 8 years. So that's obviously a problem. How many vacant luxury units did you find in Bushwick, even while there's a one-third poverty rate?
So over the course of the summer, we were able to identify 108 buildings in Bushwick, 60 buildings that are completely constructed, luxury condos, 48 which are stalled constructions. It's a very interesting number that we found because before our research, the city reported that there were only 4 stalled buildings in Bushwick, and our young people, in a matter of 6 weeks, were able to find 48 across the whole community.
And were they really luxury condos? They were going to be selling for many hundreds of thousands of dollars for an apartment?
Yeah. So, and we found some interesting data. Some of the most severe cases, one case we found a building that our young people actually visited a year ago when it first opened. It's 979 Willoughby, right on the corner of Willoughby and Evergreen. And it's a building we went to go look at when no one lived in it. It had 15 units. The average price of the unit inside the building was $507,000. A year later, we go back and find this this condo, and it's 93% vacant. Only one unit has sold in the year that it's been open. And the price point is still the same, right? So it's a community that doesn't earn a lot of money at the same time that condos are coming in and selling for $300,000-$500,000, which is totally out of reach for our community members in Bushwick.
So David Dodge from the Right to the City Coalition, what do you make of the discrepancy between the buildings department listing four stalled condo construction sites in Bushwick and Jose and his team finding 48 of them? Is the city government covering up for some reason, or are they clueless, or what do you make of the discrepancy?
No, the city's just not actively looking for this information, so no one's done what we've done to this extent. Like, we've walked, like we said, 298 different census tracts, and the city's just waiting for this information to come to them. So, you know, we think it's important that the city keep track of this information so it's not going to, you know, be left up to community groups to go out there and do this.
So what are you asking for?
Well, you know, eventually we want these to be converted into low-income housing. The second stage of this research is to look at the best way to make that happen. So right now we're analyzing all the data that we've collected, and we're going to be releasing a report in January that will detail our plan for converting these condos.
You said low-income housing.
Low-income
housing?
Exactly. So the city right now has a program called the Housing Asset Renewal Program, which will try to convert some of these condos into affordable housing for moderate-income people. So under HARP, you can still make up to $120,000 and qualify for a homeownership unit. So to the low-income people that we're working with, that's not affordable. So we're wanting to work with the city to create a program that will be affordable to low-income people.
So it's one thing to ask a developer, an owner, to take a luxury unit that they were trying to sell for $500,000 and that they've invested money to build and modify the terms of the mortgage or modify the price so people of middle income means might be able to buy it at a lower price as a condo. It's a whole other thing to ask these private owners to convert it to low income housing. I mean, obviously the profit margins are astronomically different, and they have invested a lot of money to build these things. So don't they have rights too?
Well, I mean, in some of the ways that we're looking at going about converting these condos, we're not really concerned with the developers. We're concerned with, housing low-income people. So one of the ways that we're looking at doing this is looking at the buildings that are in tax foreclosure and asking the city just to take them. Other more extreme measures that we're considering pushing is, the use of eminent domain. This was a process that was originally created for the city to be able to take private property and turn it over to the public good. It's famously been used in cases like Columbia, where it's expanding and gentrifying neighborhoods, but we would, have the city consider using this as a way to provide low-income housing.
Eminent domain.
Yes.
In other words, seizing private property for the public good.
Right.
In this case, vacant luxury housing.
Exactly.
And the government seizing it and turning it into affordable housing. Under eminent domain, they would have to pay some kind of fair payment to the owner that they're seizing it from,
yep,
correct?
Definitely. So, and we're not under any delusions that this is going to be easy or simple, or it's clearly going to cost money. So we're looking into ways to finance this, obviously, at the city level. Again, the city's already committed $20 million for this program, so there's clearly political will for this. We're looking into state strategies. We're looking into stimulus funds. The city's also applied for $8 million in stimulus funding to go towards this program to HARP. So, clearly there's some money out there that can be used for this. Eminent domain is one among, many different options that we're looking at.
But wait a minute. Jose, are people in Brooklyn saying, hey, don't use eminent domain on Atlantic Yards? Eminent domain is wrong for the government to take property, et cetera. But you're saying, okay, go ahead and use eminent domain here. Is there a contradiction?
I mean, we're talking about a basic human right, and this is affordable housing to make sure that community members are not involuntarily displaced from their communities just because they don't have a job that pays them a good amount of money, right? We're seeing in our community of Bushwick tons of families who have been there from the 70s into the 80s into the 90s who have helped reconstruct this community, which was pretty much ignored for 25, 30 years by the city, reconstruct this community, make it habitable for their families, for their children, and now there's a push to get these families out to make it a more desirable and marketable neighborhood for young professionals, right? So what we're talking about here is a basic human right, and that is the right to affordable housing for every New Yorker, whether you're making minimum wage or you're making $100,000, $200,000 a year, right? Everyone has a right to housing. Everyone has a right to affordable housing. And that's what this alliance is really about.
And how about the tax foreclosure idea? Before you go, just explain that a little bit more. You know, again, we have segment after segment on this show advocating for people who are about to lose their homes to bank foreclosure and looking at how inadequate the foreclosure modification law coming out of Washington is and these various programs, and people keep getting kicked out of their homes because the banks won't be flexible. You're asking the city to be tough on foreclosure if these developers of luxury condos are in arrears on their taxes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this would be, you know, it's again trying to flip one of these processes that have harmed low-income communities. The foreclosure rate is obviously hurting low-income communities more than higher-income ones. So this would be a way of using the foreclosure crisis in a way that would benefit low-income people to target luxury buildings that are in foreclosure and give them to neighborhoods that really need them for low-income housing.
Hey, Jose, you know, not many guests come on this program and have a standing room only audience in the newsroom looking through the glass. You know, it would be for people like Alec Baldwin and, you know. But you came out of the Radio Rookies program once upon a time, which is celebrating
10 years ago.
You were in the first group.
Yeah, Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Celebrating its 10th anniversary right now. So Local Boy makes good. And you've got an audience of fans in the newsroom checking you out over there. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And last question, David Dodge, are you worried that the market will turn around before you get these units to be permanently affordable through whatever of these means you've been describing?
You know, it really isn't looking likely. We're not really concerned about that right now. And if it does, you know, we're still going to push ahead and trying to get the city to provide more low-income housing for people that really need it.
David Dodge is the Right to the City Coalition coordinator for this low-income or vacancy vacant luxury condo census that they did, and Jose Lopez, an organizer at Make the Road New York, the economic justice organization that's part of the coalition. Thank you both very much for coming in. And listeners, you can continue to post your sightings to our Halted Development Map at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And coming up next, career advice for Lou Dobbs. Stay with us.